These are the same old notes. I don't have the one-page edition. This is the two-page one. We're studying types. First page is Greek, second page is Hebrew. And we left off in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you for this time together. Give clarity of thought and expression as we handle the Word of God, that the saints may be edified and that we would accurately communicate the Word of God. And that through all of this activity, as we give you our attention and we look at these things, that you would be glorified through us. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we're in 1 Corinthians. Let's read to get back to where we were. We're studying types, by the way, in Sunday school. In the morning service, we're going to go back to the filling of the Spirit. But in studying types, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. But with many of them, talking about Israel, but with many... the majority, actually it says with many of them, the majority. So that would mean the greater number of them, the majority of them, the greater number of them, God was not well pleased. Now if you look back at this context, he kept using all of the word all in the first. So they all received, all of Israel received the same provisions. And Paul is bringing this up because he's going to be showing the Corinthians that we also have provisions from God that are given equally to all the Christians, but we don't utilize them. So here Israel was giving all of these provisions in the first four verses, and he's saying all of them had this, all of them had that. But then when we get to verse 5, he says, but with many of them, the majority of them, he was not well pleased. So now he separates from all. Some of them he was pleased with, but the majority of them he was not well pleased with. For they were overthrown in the wilderness. That word overthrown has the idea of to lay low, to be separated where they're laid low. And I'm thinking it's talking about here is the judgment of God over Israel in many different ways. As we go to the context, he's going to have different judgments upon Israel that brought about their death. And I think this is a warning to the Corinthians. He's going to mention in the Lordian table that some of them had died and some of them were weak and crippled. So this is a warning that Paul is giving that God can judge his people to death. Now, he's talking about Israel here, but he's going to bring it over to the church in the context and make some differences. He says they were overthrown in the wilderness. They were laid low in the wilderness. Verse 6. Now, these things, all of these things were types, were come to be by God types. They weren't types by their own nature, but God took them and made them as types for us. Now, we emphasized this last week. This is review. That for us means it's for the Christian. This isn't for unsaved people. Don't go to these contexts and use this as something that you would address to unsaved people. He says, these things were made by God, our examples. That word examples is types. Now to remind you, it's not a type in Scripture unless God calls it a type. In fact, the Scofield Bible, I was reading the Scofield footnotes, and there was some other ones. I was reading in the Old Testament, and in the reference Bible, it said, this is a type of Christ. This is a type. It's not a type unless God calls it a type, period. And so I like the Scofield Bible. I recommend the Scofield Bible, but the Scofield Bible is not without some problems, and I'm pointing that out. And that's Carol, who I said, hi, you made it, and good to see you. So these things were our examples. Our is the church, the Christians. So it's for the Christians, it's types. Now, what kind of types? To the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. So here's a negative in here. So these are things where God gave as types. God made them to be types for the Christian, not for unsaved people, not for all people, for the Christian of what not to do. So the first thing in verse 6 is, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6. So it says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 6, that these were examples or types to us. God made them to be. They came to be by God. He's the one that did it. Later on in the next few verses, he's going to say that they were written. He recorded them in the Word by the Holy Spirit. It says they stand written. We want to point something out. Verse 6 is about lust. Verse 7, 8, and 9 are about the results of the lust. So what we have in 7, 8, and 9 are actions, things that Israel did. But before you ever do anything, you have a lust or a strong desire. So in verse 6, he's talking about lust or strong desires. That's Russ coming. So he's talking about strong desires, lust in verse 6, that the Christian shouldn't practice. And then verse 7, 8, and 9 is the results of lust that were not properly dealt with. Now he's going to change things in, by the way, it's 7, 8, 9, and 10. In verse 13 is where he makes a difference between Israel and the church. And this is where we're building. So in verse 13, he says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is dependable. He's faithful, who will not suffer or permit you to be tempted above what you are able, what your ability is, but will with the temptation also make the way of escape that you might be able to bear the temptation." So for the Christian, unlike Israel, we have a promise from God, first of all, of the fact that he's going to measure us before any temptation comes our way, any lust comes our way. He's going to measure our ability on whether we can bear it. He's also going to, by grace, provide the way of escape. So he's pointing out to the Corinthians that these things are our types or examples of things that we should not do. He's also going to mention lust. I'm going to get to that. That's what we're going to try to get through 6 and 7 today. I don't know. But we're going to try to get through. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6 and 7. But here we have mention of types. Now, a type is a specific pattern. Now, here we have a specific pattern that is written in the Word of God using Israel, what had happened to Israel, that we're not to follow. So I showed you last week, I pulled this out of my RAV4, and in this is the manual, and it tells you all things of what you should do. And it gives all things about the car, what you should do. But all throughout this book is also patterns of what you should not do. And it gives pictures and red things of patterns that you're not to practice. Like, do not put a child in a seat by the airbag. So they have that there. Don't do that. Most people don't read those things. I don't, but I found out Helen did. So I don't know. But I didn't read the manual. But and just to remind you that Dan said, if you already know everything, you don't have to read it. Okay. But if I put some pictures up, here's some specific patterns or things. If you look at this says what? So what is it saying? Nada. If we had a ghost in there, it would be Ghostbusters. Ain't afraid of no ghosts, okay? So here we have that. How about, what's this? No fires, no lighting match. It's dry. No fires. So we know that. We can see that. How about this one? Huh? What's wrong with this?
No recommend.
It's a recommendation.
Recommended, don't.
Oh, recommended not to park here? Yeah, sure. Okay, so no parking. By the way, if you're in Mexico, they don't have these. They have yellow curbs. If you park in a yellow curb, they don't tow your car away. They remove the license plate. Then you're in bad trouble, especially if you have a rental car, because you're going to bring that back and they're saying, we gave it to you, there was two plates. It really does cause problems. It never happened to me, but yes, yet. What's this? Okay. Okay, no swimming. Craig says no swimming. Here's one Fred doesn't like. I said, Fred, you stay. Dogs don't go to church. Okay? But no smoking, no alcohol, no food, no skating, no, I don't know. Where did I never, you ever see a place, no ice cream? We can recognize those. And we read them. So in the Word of God, what we have for Christians is that there's things in the Old Testament that were written for our warning. So if you take this and put it on 1 Corinthians chapter 6, chapter 10, verse 6. So if we took the match out and we put in there, what? A big circle with a pattern that says, don't lust as they did. Now, it's specifically pointing to them, as they lusted. It also says not to become idolaters. It also says not to become fornicators. It also says not to become murmurers. It also says not to put God to the test as they did. So you could have these multiple signs in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and you could put those things that these are examples in the Old Testament of what not to do. So the Old Testament is going to give us examples of what not to do. There's warnings in the Old Testament of what not to do. So there's revelation in the Old Testament to Christians to assist them in these matters. If we look back at the Old Testament, it's an assistance that God's giving us to look at the Old Testament to help us to recognize evil lusts and certain practices that we should not be involved in. But based on verse 13, which I read to you, in looking at the Old Testament, it will aid us, assist us to recognize improper thinking and improper actions, specifically that Israel did in these contexts. But what it will not do, let me repeat that, what it will not do is to show us how to have victory over them. Do we get that? This is such an important part to know this whole context. The Old Testament, when we specifically go back and look at these things, when that's what we're doing, is going to help us to recognize what not to do, improper thinking. But what it's not going to do is tell us how to have victory over these things. It's only going to tell us this is improper. It's not going to tell us how to have victory. Because verse 13 says, God has provided the way of escape for the Christian in the New Testament. Okay, are we clear on that? By the way, what I just said to you is not preached in most churches. They're going to go to the Old Testament to try to figure out how to have victory. Who's that guy we were listening to on the... I was listening, you came in the room and you laughed. Some famous old preacher was on there going off on the... I happened to wanted to get entertainment, so I turned on that Christian satellite network, whatever it is. And some guy was preaching and he said, Satan doesn't understand people. He doesn't know anything about you. He only knows one thing. He hates God, so he hates you. And that was his message. Well, that just left out everything in the New Testament on how to recognize Satan. It took out stuff in the Old Testament that tells you about Satan. And it doesn't give you the way of escape to have victory over Satan. All he did was say, Satan doesn't understand anything about people. He just hates God, so he hates you. That was his message. Hello? The Old Testament is our... One of the things that the Old Testament does not tell us how to have victory, but it tells us as a warning, an admonition. Don't do this. So the first thing is in verse 6. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 6. Now these things came to be, came into existence, came to be by another, by God, types of us, examples of us, types of us. I'm retranslating. With reference to that we should not be us lusting after evil things, just as indeed they lusted. So I'm going to go back to the Old Testament and we're going to look at a place specifically where it talks about lusting. This is a manner of thinking that comes before actions. Lust always comes before actions. And we're going to have to look at James to find out what's being discussed here. But let's go back to the Old Testament. Look at the lusting, the type of thinking that went on ahead of time. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 11. So it says here, to lust upon evil things. That word evil is the word kakos. It means that which is lacking in character. It's something that is lacking in its character. Now what we're going to find from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Numbers chapter 11, what we'll find out from chapter 11 of Numbers as we look at what they lusted after is what makes something evil. Paul said that he is persuaded, he became convinced in the New Testament that there is nothing evil of itself. There's nothing evil of itself. Again, Helen and I went to a pastor's conference where a former president of Western, he's with the Lord if he's saved. But we heard him preach, and he said that if you have any pictures in your house of, like I had some things that missionaries had given me from the field, and they were things from that culture. He said, if you hang those things in your house, that thing is evil, and you're letting evil going to penetrate your mind and shape your being. And that's what he spoke at the pastor's conference. I went up to him after. I said, there's nothing evil of itself. It's just a arrow or a bow and an arrow. It's not evil of itself. But they think that things are evil of its own nature. What makes something evil is how you relate to it and how you think of it. And what we're going to find is that the sin nature, one of the things with lusting is the sin nature takes things that God has provided, but it takes those things and it, tweaks them and uses them in an improper way. The thing itself is not wrong, but how you're using it makes it wrong. Let's go to Numbers chapter 11. So in Numbers chapter 11, verse 1, "And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed those who were in the far extremes, parts of the camp." What it is what he's saying here is that as they were marching and proceeding through the wilderness, there were those who were complaining about conditions and they were dragging their feet, and they were at the farthest end of the camp dragging their feet because they were complainers and they were consumed by fire. The complainers who were holding up the march, dragging their feet. I remember we had a business meeting and there was a bunch of complainers in the church in Grants Pass. And when we were there, Brother John, amen, Brother John. Anyway, he stood up at the meeting and I always remember this. He said, "My daddy always said," he was from the South, and he said, "My daddy always said, if you're not going to help push the wagon, please at least don't drag your feet." And that's what he said at a business meeting to a bunch of people that were dragging their feet. Well, here were people dragging their feet and they were consumed. "And the people cried," verse 2, "unto Moses. And when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because of the fire of the Lord burned among them." It means a burning. "And the mixed multitude that was among them fell to lusting. And the sons," not children, "the sons of Israel also wept against and said, 'Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic, but now our soul is dried away.'" "There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes." So who is providing the manna? God was. We covered this last week. How did he bring the manna to them? By the way, what does manna mean? I was giving a little New York ER at the end there. But thank you for not noticing. Okay, manna. Who brought the manna? Angels. They ate food from angels, Psalm 78. And they came on the ground in the morning when the fog would lift, there would be this white little stuff about the size of a coriander seed, little hard kernel, and it was all white like the dew all upon the ground, and they were to gather it. And that's what they would grind and make into bread. And angels would bring that every single day, except for on the Sabbath. They would not bring it, so they had to gather twice as much the day before the Sabbath. But here God was providing. But what are they thinking about? They're thinking about back into Egypt, right? And they're saying back in Egypt, remember the fish and the onions and all of the good stuff we had. Now we got this manna. We don't even know what it is. We call it, what is it? And we eat this stuff. And by the way, were they better off right now while they're complaining, or were they better off in Egypt? They're going in their memory, which is wrong, and they're looking back and they're saying, "Oh, it was better back there." Was it better back there? No. So first of all, their memory is wrong and they're believing falsehood. They're misrepresenting the facts. Why am I bringing this up? Because God says we're not to have strong desires, lust as they were lusting. So the first thing we could see here is their memory was warping things. Their memory was remembering not really as it was. What was their memory doing? Selective. Oh, maybe we had some fish on occasion. Maybe we had an onion or two or something. But we also broke our backs and we died and we were slaves and we had nothing. Oh, I forgot about that. So they're selectively remembering and they're remembering not accurately because of that selectiveness. Let's go back. Verse 7, and the manner was as coriander, that small, round, brownish seed, and the color thereof as the color of, how do you pronounce that word? Bdellium? I don't know. It's a white amber color. And the people went about and gathered it round about and in mills and beat it in a mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. Came from angels, Psalm 78:25. So the people are belly aching. Moses complains. Let's jump down in the context to what verse do I want? Verse 13 we looked at. Now let's go to verse, you can read this context on your own. Verse 31. So the people are complaining, and there went forth a wind from the Lord and brought quails from the sea and let them fall by the camp as it were a day's journey on this side. And as it were a day's journey on the other side, round about the camp, and it was, and as it were 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth. And the people stood up all the day and all the night and all the next day, and they gathered the quails. He that gathered least gathered 10 homers. A homer is about 86 gallons. So 10 homers is 10 times that. So we can say that how many quail did they gather? A lot. A lot. I don't know. I ain't going to figure it out, but it's a lot. Hey, what would you do with 86 gallons, just one homer of quail? What would you do with it? I don't even have a refrigerator big enough for all that and keep it. And they spread them all abroad for themselves round about the camp. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, before it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. What God is doing is showing and answering verse 23. And the Lord said unto Moses, is the Lord's hand become short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass upon thee or not. So he's demonstrating that his hand is not short. His ability and his power, he could supply whatever they need. What is he supplying for the people? What do they need right now and what is adequate for them? Manna. But now he's going to judge them, and he does provide them with flesh, but he's going to use it as a judgment. Verse 34. And he called the name of that place, and I'm not good at pronouncing these things, Kibroth Hathaava. I don't know, Russ, you probably could say that better than I do. But do you know what that word means? Does it have it in the Scofield Bible? It means graves of lust. Graves of lust. Because there they buried the people that lusted. And then the people journey on. So we came here because it says that we should look at this as an example and see that we don't lust after evil things as they also lusted and fell in the wilderness. Remember it said that? So here we see them falling in the wilderness as the flesh was in their teeth. They're dying in the places called graves of lust. They buried them there because they were evil, lusting after this, and bellyaching to the Lord. So what can we learn from this first of all? That the flesh takes good things and perverts them. The flesh takes good things and perverts them. The second thing that we can see from this in the pattern is they were lusting, they had strong desires after what they cannot have or should not have. So they were lusting for something that they couldn't have and shouldn't have. Because God was leading them through the wilderness and He was providing everything they need, and what He provided for them from the angel's provision was manna. And He made sure they had that manna every day, and they ground it up and they baked it into loaves and food and they were eating. But they got tired of that. So we see that, first of all, what were they lusting after? It says they were lusting after evil things. What were they lusting after? What was the evil things they were lusting after? Onions, flesh, some quail, some food, something other than look like coriander. What is it? Little brown, whitish brown, little stuff on the ground. We want anything but this. So they were lusting after things that were back in Egypt, fish, onions, etc. What made them evil? They were not satisfied with what God was providing for them. God was taking care of them. He was providing for them. He was providing for them under a covenant promise that He had made. And He was supplying what Israel needed. What made it evil? It was evil and lacking in character because it was not what God wanted for them. And it was something that they could not and should not have as they were in the wilderness. And so God judged them. So we can learn a pattern there. Now, before we dismiss from this, let's go back to James chapter 1. Keep your finger in 1 Corinthians 10 if you're still there. But in James chapter 1, verse 13. Verse 12 says, happy or blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tested for approval, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord had promised to them that love him. So how do you love the Lord? I watched that also on the Christian so-called satellite network. And everybody's proclaiming how they love the Lord. But how do you love the Lord? By action. And what's the action that you do in this context to show that you love Him? You endure temptation. See that? You endure temptation. Verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, from God as the source, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So where does temptation come from? God doesn't tempt any man, so where does it come from? Well, there's three evil sources. Verse 14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his what? What's that next word? Very own lust. So where do evil lusts come from? I'm not doing this today, but I expect you know this. Tell me, where do evil lusts come from? 1 John says that they come from where? The world. Okay. John chapter 8 says that the devil has lusts. And the flesh, where's a good place to get the lust of the flesh? Is Galatians. The lust of the flesh. The strong desires that come from the sin nature. So we have the sin nature. We have Satan. And the world system gives evil lusts. Are there good lusts that come? It says the Spirit of God lusts against the flesh. So there are good lusts that come from the Spirit of God. So evil lusts, which is in this context of James, come from three sources: the world, the flesh, and the devil. But you're tempted when you what? So here's your mind. That's a heart. Here's your mind. Okay. From the world, the flesh, or the devil, a strong desire, a lust is placed in your mind. Based on Titus 2, you can, if you recognize and catch a lust as a lust, you can do what? Deny it. What does deny mean? Nada. So if you catch a lust, as soon as it comes into your mind as a lust, you can say no. But if you grab onto that and you're drawn away like a fish to the bait on a hook, you're drawn away, you're enticed, then you do what? You make it your own. So the lust, when it comes from the world, the flesh, or the devil, whose lust is it? It's the world's lust. It's the flesh's lust. It's the devil's lust. But when are you tempted? When you grab onto that in your mind and you make it your own. Now it's your lust. When you get a lust into your mind, is there any guilt? Did you ask for it? No, it just comes in. No guilt, no confession. You deny it, get rid of it. Now you make it your own, and now you're tempted. Is there guilt? Not at this point. But if you, when you make it your own, you say, yes, I will. Now what are you in? Trespass. Now, once you're in trespass, it's unrighteous. How bad is unrighteousness? Still in your mind, you haven't done anything. But it needs to be what? It needs to be washed, cleansed. I'm hearing different words. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to do what? We need to be cleaned up. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6. These things God made as types that we may learn to lust not as they lusted. Where in this is they lusted? Is it coming from the world of flesh and the devil? When it says they lusted, what is it saying? Were they here? Were they here? Okay, that's right. They could have been here, but not here. Once it says they lusted, they at least what? Made it their own. Do you follow me? Am I losing everyone? I'm trying to have an analysis of the text. Yes? Oh, no. Okay, so make it your own. They lusted means they made it their own. They lusted. And then it says they were judged and destroyed. When we bent back to Numbers 11, where it had graves of lust, where they were destroyed in the wilderness, had they stopped here? What did they do with that lust? They not only made the lust their own, but then they did what? They acted upon it. What's some of the ways they acted upon it? Some of them dragged their feet. The ones in the back, they dragged their feet, trying to hold the camp back. We're not happy with all this, Moses. We're tired of this manner. Okay, you're not going to listen to us? We'll make you listen to us. Let's just drag our feet, slow everybody down. Fire. I was pulled in front of a judge in Grants Pass. One social, or it had to do with a case with a teenage girl, and she was called into court, and I had to appear. And a social worker attacked me, and it was over discipline, and I gave him a thing on how discipline is not child abuse. And I said, I have a message on it if you want to listen to it. And I said, it's on tape at the church. And he said, oh, you're one of those literalists. He said, what do you think? God marched Israel around the wilderness and took a big 2x4 out of heaven and spanked them? What do you think my reply to him was? I said, he might not have used a 2x4, but they're dead. They're dead. The judge finally stopped it. He said, leave them alone, and got those guys off of me. But here there's fire from heaven hit the dragging of the feet. So they made the lust their own. Then they acted upon it by how? Dragged their feet. What was another group? How did they act upon it? They started vocalizing. Trying to not drag their feet, but trying to drag everybody else down. How do you drag everyone else down? Hey, do you remember the fish? You remember the fish, don't you? Yeah, you like fish. Do you remember the leeks, those onions? That is onions, aren't they? Leeks? Kind of an onion. What is it?
Similar.
Yeah, mild onion. Okay, but you remember the leeks. Good for cooking, wasn't it? You can't do that with manna. What are they doing? Dragging everyone down in their mind. Slowing up the group by planting a false representation of the past. So, what Paul says here to the Corinthians, first of all, is he's going to go through actions in verse 7, 8, 9, and 10, which we're not going to get to today. 7, 8, 9, and 10 are going to be actions. And we're going to go back. There's a context for every one of those. And so there's a pattern that can be followed, that God says, don't follow that pattern. So what's the pattern right here that he says, big red, I don't have red, don't do this, remember? Not a suggestion. Don't do it. Don't do it. God says he put this as he made it to be a type that we can look back to the Old Testament. Anything they did was first preceded by lusting. And what did they lust after? Things that were lacking in character. What made them lacking in character? that they misrepresented the facts. They took good things and twisted them in their mind, and they made the lust their own, and then they acted upon it. So you don't lust as they lusted. How did they lust? They got an attack from the world, the flesh, or the devil. By the way, in this context, what enemy is mentioned there in the lusting? Okay, we have the devil. Can we see the devil there? Trying to discourage other people, trying to discourage the rest of Israel? Yeah, could be the devil. Disappointment, discouragement, doubt. Devil could have been involved there. Anything else? Remember the fish. Remember back in Egypt. So we got some remembrance. We got something from the world system that's there. What about the flesh? Sure, it takes good things, perverts it, twists it. I think in the lusting, you have all three enemies probably putting thoughts in the mind. I could be wrong in that. We could discuss it. But when we go through the context of idolatry, murdering, and all, let's look at which enemies are involved. But here, probably the lusting could be all three. But what the problem is they made it their own. And not only did they make it own when they were tempted, but they went from the tempting and they failed and they acted upon it. Now, verse 13 says, God's provided something better for us. What has he provided better for us in verse 13 when it comes to all three enemies and lust? The specific way to what? Escape. The specific way to escape. So then he tells you, you who think you stand, beware lest you fall. We'll look at all that. Our time's up. Any questions? So the first thing is don't lust as they lusted. Don't lust as they lusted. What did they do? They took good things out of the will of God, perverted it, things that they could not have and probably should not have, they did, and they were judged for it. All right. Father, thank you for this time together. Look forward to what you have planned for us through the day. Thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Okay.